don't know about you, but I could just sit out here and listen to her do this for a couple more hours. What a gift and talent, and she's using it for the Lord. It doesn't get more beautiful than that. Well, we're at the end, and I have one more little thing we're going to do to you today. It sounds a little strange. Do to you today, considering I have sharp objects up here. But what we're going to talk about today is, as you can see, getting rooted, built up, and strengthened in your faith. This goes along with our theme that we've had this summer, and that we've been talking about this weekend, too. And you can notice up here, I've got some things, and I have some things I'm going to pass out to people. And I have some things to show you and stuff that I think you will find interesting. But let's get into this by, first of all, going to prayer and asking God to open up our hearts and our minds to see things clearly. Father God, we do come before you. A beautiful morning you've given us, and we thank you, Lord, for the safety. We thank you, Lord, for the fun we've had. We thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you for your word. Lord, the message, the singing, the praising, the trees, the water, the leaves, even the minerals in the soil itself. So beautiful. The smells around here, the aromas. So many wonderful blessings you've given us this weekend. Peace and quiet, not hearing traffic. Not hearing a bunch of planes flying over. Just peace and quiet, the wind blowing through the branches. We thank you for all of this. We thank you, Lord, for the health you've given us. We thank you for the senses that you imparted into our bodies, that we'd be able to taste and smell and see and touch these things. We thank you. And I ask now that you would please watch over us this morning as we are, again, getting into your word and showing evidence that your word is true. Help strengthen our faith with this. And Lord, I can't help but ask that you would help the people who are living in the Bahamas that were hit by a Category 5 hurricane yesterday. And even this morning, it's only moving 1 mile per hour. The devastation and probably a massive loss of life. Lord, I pray you keep those people safe, and even in the midst of the storm, that they can find peace in you. So bless us with this message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, looking at our theme verse again, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Now, I'm taking it out of this is the God's Word translation. And if you're wondering what is God's Word translation, it's a word for, or it's a thought-for-thought translation, but it's written like on about a fourth grade level. That's why I've been using it, because there's so many kids in here. And we love having kids in here. Remember, we started as a youth camp. So, here's what this passage says. You received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live as Christ's people. Now, to be Christ's people, of course, that's being born again. And we talked about that. That was our first message with the pirate. Then it says, sink your roots in him and build on him. Be strengthened by the faith that you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. But that part there, be strengthened by the faith that you were taught. That's what I want to focus on this morning, because there's a lot of things having to do with the Bible that we're taught in Sunday school, or hopefully families teach their children and stuff like this, things from the Word of God that you learn, certain Bible stories. And you know something? These stories really did take place. There's many people today tell you that this is just a book of fairy tales. It is not. The things in here are real. They really lived. They really took place. And I've actually, that's one of the reasons I wrote two books, which you can see in the canteen, or you can get them on Amazon and stuff, which is actually, if you like this kind of stuff, this is going to be short this morning. There's an extenuation on that in the two books I wrote. This is not a commercial for a book. Well, in a way it is. Hey, I got medical bills to pay. So, but yeah, the whole reason I'm so into archaeology and stuff is showing that these things really did take place. This stuff is real. And that's what I want to try and get across, in strengthening our faith that these things took place. So, as we look at some of these different artifacts that I have up here, just a few of this morning, I want to show you that places in the Bible this is talked about, but evidence that these things really took place. That's what we're going to try and do today. So, ready to go back in time a couple of thousand years? Yeah? Well, let's try it and see what happens. So, how do we do this? We have to, first of all, focus on what the Bible says. We got to go back to the stories of what the Bible says. Now, how many of you in here, I think I should probably pick on the kids here. How many kids remember the story of Balaam? I love this. I'm not going to point anybody out, but I've got some people who are in their teens raising their hands. I love that. A lot of people have their hands up. Who is Balaam? He was a prophet. I love when kids answer this. Boy, you're just a kid at heart, aren't you there?
Yes, I am.
So, he is a prophet. That was true. He's actually called a seer. A seer was sort of like a prophet. He would speak for the God or gods, is what seers did. Anybody know anything special about him, though? Yeah, you know something? Well, he was going to curse people. He was sent to curse people, but something happened to him on the way to cursing the people of God. Something very strange and amazing that critics say, no way. He had the talking donkey. Remember this? Let's look at the book of Numbers. This takes place back in the Torah, the beginning of the Old Testament. And again, we're going to be reading this out of the God's Word translation. Numbers chapter 21, chapter 22, verses 21 through 31. So it's a longer passage, but this is a story, and it's a cool story. It's a Sunday school story to let you see this. When Balaam got up in the morning, he saddled his donkey and left with the Moabite princes. God became angry that he was going. So the messenger of the Lord stood in the road to stop him. Balaam was riding his donkey, accompanied by his two servants. When the donkey saw the messenger of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn, the donkey turned off the road into a field. Balaam hit the donkey to get it back on the road. When the road went through the vineyards, it was narrow, with stone walls on both sides. Now the messenger of the Lord stood there. When the donkey saw the messenger of the Lord, it moved over and pinned Balaam's foot against the wall. Ouch. So Balaam hit the donkey again. Then the messenger of the Lord moved ahead and stood in a narrower place where there was no room to turn to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the messenger of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam. Balaam became so angry, he hit the donkey with his stick. Yeah. Then the Lord made the donkey speak, and it asked Balaam, "What have I done to make you hit me three times?" Balaam answered, "Well, you've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "I'm your own donkey. You've always ridden me. Have I ever done this to you before?" "No," he answered. Then the Lord let Balaam see the messenger of the Lord who was standing in the road with his sword drawn. So Balaam knelt, bowing his face, touching the ground. Remember this story? So people, many critics of the Bible will say this never took place. There was never no Balaam. And this whole thing, and a talking donkey. Well, really, let's think about this. This is what's called a miracle. You know what a miracle is? You can't explain a miracle using science. That's a miracle. Miracles do happen. And in this case, if God is telling this donkey to be able to talk, this is the same God who created everything out of nothing. Having a donkey speak, would that really be difficult for God? Of course not. That'd be very simple. For God. I mean, we know Jesus walked around, even raising people from the dead. That would be harder than having a donkey talk. God is not limited. That's the thing. He's not limited by the laws of science. Don't ever get into that idea that science limits God. God is almighty. Science bows and is conformed to what God says. God gave the laws of science, and he can take them away. He can change them. When he created, There were no laws of science. He started everything without the laws of science. Then he made the laws of science. We also learned something else about this guy. In the book of Joshua, it says, along with these leaders, the people of Israel also killed Balaam. There's another clue here. Notice what it says? Son of Beor. Also, who used black magic. Balaam was not a true follower and a really good person of God. He was a person who was, in some translation, they call him a prophet. Other translations, they call him a seer. Same type of thing, just different wording. But he knew God, but he also knew, as we read in New Testament passages, he also was not a real follower of God. He obviously followed a lot of other idols and stuff. Well, back in around 67, this was discovered in Jordan. This is actually a copy of it. I don't have the original, but this is a copy. I would love to have the original, but more people can see it in a museum. But this was being excavated. In other words, there were archaeologists that were digging in an old city. And in this city, there were walls of this one building, like a house. And as they were digging out this house and clearing out the walls and getting it all cleared up, they started taking this stuff and brushing the sand and the dirt aside. They saw there was writing on here. Now, you're not going to be able to read this because this is not written in English, but it does have something very fascinating written over here in the ancient language. It talks about Balaam, son of Beor, the seer, who worshipped God. Of course, he also, as we know, he wasn't totally a worshiper of God, because he sort of turns against God in some aspects. But it's actually his name written in plaster on a wall. This guy really did live. This was found in what would have been in ancient days, Persia, and in the Old Testament time, this was actually written. This date's really, really old, but this is evidence. This guy really did live. And what this says is remarkable because it says the same thing about him in the Bible, that he was the son of Beor and that he was a seer of the gods. It actually has the name Yahweh written in here as one of the gods that he would serve, and that fits with the Bible. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that neat? Yeah. So there's one. Let's get to another one. Who knows the story of Samson and the lion? Oh, you know the story of Samson and the lion? What happened?
Samson fought the lion and ate the meat when he wasn't supposed to.
Okay, Samson fought a lion. Yeah. Does anybody remember how he killed the lion? You remember? Well, his faith in God, true, but he did it. He didn't use a weapon. He used his hands, and he ripped the mouth. Ooh, that doesn't sound like a nice thing. Ripped the mouth apart. Here it is. The story is in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Samson went with his father and mother to Timnah. When they were coming to the vineyards of Timnah, a young roaring lion met Samson. The Lord's spirit came over him. With his bare hands, he tore the lion apart as if it was a young goat. Samson was a pretty strong guy. And what is fascinating about this story is they have found something that was just found 4 years ago. They discovered this, a little tiny seal, if you will. It looks like this. This is actually the size of it. This is a museum copy again. They found this in the city of Beth Shemesh back around 2012. Archaeologists were digging, and they came across, this is about the size of a quarter, you can see. And you can see that there's some lightened pieces on here as you look at this. Now, it's sort of hard to tell what this is, but you might be able to see that this is actually an animal, a four-legged animal with a long tail. Archaeologists believe that this is a lion that's on this seal, but there's something else. Over on the extreme right, it's hard to tell with this one because there's still dirt on it, but if you look over here on the actual one, it shows a man with long hair and that he's got his hands actually on the mouth of a lion. Sound familiar? Yes. This is called the Samson seal, and this was discovered, like I say, just in 2012. And the Samson seal is a fascinating piece because we have the story of Samson actually being told. So who would like a copy of a Samson seal? Now, you're going to, children, you can get one thing. So pick, choose wisely. as to what you might get here. Oh, my gosh, you're getting so excited back there in the back. They're trying to come over the counter. Aaron, I'll give you one special. Don't come over the counter. Just hold on back there. So, who would like a Samson seal, huh? You want one? There's a Samson seal. You want one? Yeah, because I've got a lot of things I'm going to be handing out. We'll see how many we can give here. But Samson was a real person. Now, we don't know if this is actually having to do with Samson or not, but it does appear that this is a man that fits the biblical story of a person who tore apart a lion. It seems to fit that. Let's go to another one. You ready to see another one? This is one of my favorite ones. How about this guy, Goliath? Now, there were some of you who did the archaeological dig this week at the Nature Center, and I bet you found something like this, right? So here is like one of the swords that we were handing out. How many of you got one of these this week? No? Quite a few. Well, a number of you did. Okay, those who did the class, you get that. And we have, oh, yep, I see you in the back, way back there, yes. So that's one type of sword and stuff. But now, I want to show you, the Philistines had a special type of sword. Didn't look like this. A Philistine sword, this is a picture of one that I took when I was in Israel. That's a Philistine-styled sword. And the thing is, Goliath was a big dude. This guy was really large. Let's see what the Bible says about Goliath. But look at the shape. That's a weird shape of the sword. Now, remember that shape as we look at this. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, it says, the Philistine army's champion came out of their camp. His name was Goliath from Gath. He was 10 feet tall. Now, my family did something really nice for me. Once in a while they do. No, they do it frequently. But they bought me, I believe it was this last Christmas. I might be wrong. Was it last Christmas? Yes. They bought me from a museum supply a copy of what a Philistine sword would be that Goliath might have carried. You ready to see this? That is a Goliath-sized sword. This is huge. The Philistines had worked with bronze and iron. It's got a beautiful handle, and there's some bronze built into it. This is, I mean, and look at that. It's even got a bottle opener at the bottom. What those Philistines were drinking, I don't know. But that's what it's got. But that is the type of sword a Philistine would use. Only this one is about one-third larger than a normal sword would be. Also, because it's so big like this, it's very, very heavy. Want to hold it? Now, don't try shaving with it, but... So, is it heavy? Yeah. That's very heavy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a Philistine-style sword. A little heavier than most people think. You want to just stand up, hon? You want to hold that? This ought to be good. You got it? Okay. How would you like to go into battle and swing that? It's almost as big as you are. So, now this is just showing you that what a Philistine sword looks like, and Goliath would have been having maybe a sword very similar to this and this size, but the thing is, there is some evidence of Goliath. Archaeologists were digging. Now, where did he live? Gath. He's from Gath. They were digging in Gath, and they came across a piece of broken pottery. This here. This is a broken piece of pottery, probably a water cask, a clay water cask. And as they were cleaning this thing up, it was all broken in pieces. As they had dug down and they're digging this out, they came across this piece here, which you're seeing up there. That's the actual one. This is a copy. And what's fascinating about it, it has the name Goliath written on it. It was found in Gath. Studying the type of pottery and getting the age, you can study from the writing and also the type of pottery, and plus you can do carbon 14 on this because it's clay. And what they found out, this originated at the same time Goliath was living in the Bible. Now, is this the Goliath of the Bible? We do not know. But it does show this fact. There was a guy named Goliath living in Gath at the time the Bible said. Fascinating story on that one, huh? So, who would like a copy of that? You want that one? There you go. Let's go to another story here. Since we're talking about David and stuff, how about the Elah Valley? That's where the battle between Goliath and David took place. And the Bible tells us a fascinating thing about this battle. Look what it says. This is in 1 Samuel 17, 2 and 3. So Saul and the army of Israel assembled and camped in the Elah Valley. They formed a battle line to fight the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were stationed on a hill on one side. The Israelites were stationed on a hill on the other side. And it says there was a ravine between them, a stream, a river that went between the two hills. And that's where the battle took place. This is a photograph of the Elah Valley today. And you can see a hill on one side, a hill on the other side, just like the Bible says. But it said that there was a river flowing through here. Well, I just see wheat cropping here right now. But if you look around, the Bible tells us more about this and what else is taking place. David, it says, took his stick with him, picked out 5 smooth stones from the riverbed, put them in his shepherd bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now here is a Philistine. I'm sorry, this is a shepherd sling. This was actually made by a little boy who sells these in Bethlehem. And I have 2 of these. No, sorry, I'm not giving these away. But this is a sling, and you can see it's just a little pouch like that. And I actually, just like it says in the Bible, I walked down. Matter of fact, I think the next picture is showing this stream. This is the dried up stream. I took this picture in the spring. It was very dry at the harvest time. This riverbed has dried up. But I walked down and picked up this rock from that area right there. I walked a couple hundred yards up, picked that up. So what David would have done is he picked up stones like this, sort of a smooth stone. He would put it inside of this thing, of the sling, and then he would swing it around. Now, I'm not going to do that. There's too many people and too much glass in here. And with a sling, I am not real accurate. I'd be trying to hit something over there and knock the person out over there. So we're not going to do it. But if I take the rock out, you know, you swing these things. They'd be going along with a rock in there. And then he let the thing go and go flying off. There's how this took place. And these are 2 slings actually made by boys in Bethlehem. And that's where the rock thing is. Well, it says, now the point is, I'm trying to show you, it says in the Bible, between the two hills, there was a stream with had rocks in it. What do you see? A place where there's a stream where there'd be rocks in it, just like what the Bible says. It goes on. And that's like what the slings were at those days and what they used to throw at stuff. By the way, as they were excavating, not too far from that stream, up on one of the hills, they came across a place and they found something fascinating. This is an area, Kehatha inscription. It's there at the Elah Valley, and they found a piece of pottery that I'm going to show you in this area. Now, this is a broken piece of pottery that they found. Again, this is not the original. It's a copy. But to show you what this thing is, and click the picture, Michael. I thought I hit it. There we go. And as you look at this, see, when we break pottery at home, if you got a flower pot, you break it, you just throw it in the trash. In ancient times, you didn't do that. They're the original post-it notes. Mm-hmm. They didn't stick too well, but you would write things on broken pieces of pottery. The biggest pieces of pottery you kept. What you did, you would write letters. Dear Mom, I'm at camp. I'm eating spaghetti. You know, you would write letters and then mail it off like this. Or you could write love letters. Dear Denise, I love you. I want to walk in the woods holding your hand. Well, it's all mushy then. We won't read that one. But they would write stuff. Or if you're a shop owner, I'll take 5 containers of oil. Okay, can I have a receipt? Sure. Guy picks up a broken piece of pottery. I'm selling, what's your name? Amos? Amos? Amos bought 5 pots of oil from me. And there's your receipt. That's how they use these. Notice this one does have writing on it. And that's the original up there. I took that photograph. That's the original. You can see the faint writing. This is a copy. Now, you might be wondering, what is this about? Now, this is in the land of Israel. The style of the pottery, the style of the writing tells us roughly when this took place. This is also right around the time of David. Okay, this, the writing on here. Now, what is this thing saying? If you translate it, this is what is written on there. Do not oppress and serve God. Despoil him, her, See, some of this doesn't make much sense to us. The judge and the widow wept. He had the power over the resident alien and the child. He eliminated them together. Continue. The men and chiefs or officers have established a king. He marked 60. We don't know what that means. Servants among the community's habitations generation. This is describing, obviously there was more written on it than what we have here. We've only got parts of it. But do you notice, this is what archaeologists got really excited about when they found this. The chiefs, the leaders, have established a king. Who was the first king of Israel? Saul. What we believe is somebody is reading about how Saul was the first king. Before them, what do we have? Judges. We no longer have judges. We now have a king, the establishment of a king. This is talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Samuel took a flask of olive oil, poured it on Saul's head, kissed him, and said, "The Lord has anointed you to be ruler of his people of Israel. You will rule his people and save them from all their enemies." This, they believe, is somebody who witnessed this event and wrote it down. We have part of it, not the whole thing, but we have part of the description actually being given of what you see in the Bible there. Isn't fascinating? And if you're thinking, I'm just making this up, according to Emile Puech, one of the most famous scholars today on ancient manuscripts and translations of Old Testament stuff, he says this translation contains all the essential components of the biblical tale of the transition from judges to the selection of Saul as the leader of the new king of Israel. That story that you read about, there's part of it right there that we see like in the Bible. Fascinating story. Or let's talk about some bully. Bully. No, that's no, a different type of thing. What in the world is a bulla? A bully. Bulla is singular. Bully is plural. What in the world are these things? Because I've got a bunch of these up here I'm going to show you too. This is fascinating. You see, these are ancient stamps. Ancient stamps that were used to make a document official. This is a picture of one here. And then they would stamp it into something, and it would leave this impression. And you'd see be writing on it. I have one right here. I have a large one that you can see easily from where you're sitting that there's writing. It's sort of been inked and stuff, so you can see it a little better. But what they would do, they would have scribes and stuff actually make these things. And kings and officials would have these. Those adults who I'm talking to, you will understand this easily if I say this is the original notary publix, the stamps. In ancient times, they would write a document like maybe it's on a pot, a broken ostracon or pottery or something, or it's on animal skin, or maybe even papyrus. They would write something, and then they would seal it up, roll up an animal skin. They would put a dab of plaster on there, and then take the bulla and stamp it into the plaster. Now it's officially sealed. That's how it worked. Today we have the notary public stamps it, but that's what these are. They have found literally hundreds of these in ancient Israel, around Jerusalem and stuff today. Some of these are fascinating because they often have the name of people on them. For instance, this one that I'm holding here is a large copy. This is a copy of the one that you see right here. On the left side in the enlargement is over here. This is original. These are real. That one is it's opal. The material is opal. It's not clay. Many of these are made of clay. This is an opal. And on the picture on the left, you can see the stamp part that's been enlarged. You can see how the impression is made. It's like a negative. If you ever did this in artwork where you take a potato, cut it in half, make little designs and stuff on it, ink it, and stick it on, same type of thing as a bulla. But this one here is from Queen Jezebel. Do you remember her in the Bible? Evil Queen Jezebel. She was not a nice person. Not a nice person. She was, for one, she was Phoenician. She was, the Bible tells us, the daughter of the king of Phoenicia. She married King Ahab. She's the one who ordered the death of Naboth at Jezreel, who had the vineyard and stuff. But what do we know about this? We know this is hers. How do we know this is hers? First of all, this winged sphinx you see up here at the top, that is not Egyptian. That is actually a Phoenician symbol of royalty. Remember, she was a princess. The winged thing here in the middle, this is actually a beetle with two wings on either side, a winged beetle. Actually, that becomes, that's a symbol for royalty in Israel. So this shows royalty in Israel. There's two cobras here, one on this side, one on that side. Two cobras. Cobras also show royalty. Have you ever seen Egyptian headdresses of the pharaohs? It has a cobra. These have cobra. There's also a lotus flower right here. That's a lotus flower, which means it's a female ruler. But we know that this is her name because Jezebel, the four letters making up Jezebel, ancient Hebrew did not have vowels. So it's just the consonants, but you have Jezebel written right on it. So most scholars, hardly anybody really argues with this, that this is the Jezebel from the Bible. Isn't that fascinating? The top part is damaged because there's probably a screw, because this is an opal. She probably wore this around her neck. And I don't have a picture of it, but also they found about 20 years ago a ring, a silver ring that has the name of Ahab on it. They've fascinating things that they find like that. So let's look at some other bullies that we have here. We have King Jotham. King Jotham, for some reason, he seemed to be fascinated with goats. Goats and sheep are often on symbols with him, but it has that's his symbol there. And I have some Jothams right here. Does anybody want? Now, remember, you only get to keep one. So if you've already got one, you're done. But if somebody would like a Jotham, this is a Jotham. Oh, there's going to be more. You want one? Oh, sorry, I got you right in the head, didn't I? You want one back here? I don't know. I don't know how many will be left. But this is King Jotham. I do have some more way back there. Great catch. And way back in the back, let you come up and get it off this chair here. Okay? There's one there. So this is Jotham. He was one of the kings. He's mentioned in the Bible. That's not all. We have King Ahaz. He was an evil king. He was not a good king. He's mentioned. There's a lot talked about with him in the Bible. He's not a very nice person. He did not worship God. He was sort of kooky and stuff. Does anybody want an Ahaz? This, yeah, who wants this one? Okay. I don't see one. I have one hand up. Yes, it'd be my grandson. So yes, James, you can come and get this one. I'll put it on here. Oh, and you want one? You're just yawning. I've already put this person to sleep. You wanted one. Okay, that's Ahaz. Let's go to Hezekiah. Okay, this was a good king. Good King Hezekiah. The thing is, I don't have a whole lot of these left, but I do have Good King Hezekiah. Now, if you've already got one, you're done. So you haven't got one yet? These are bullas. This is what a stamp would be. They would use these stamps. And on this one, you're going to see it's got a winged beetle on it, showing that it is actually a king. Our kids are getting bigger. So King Hezekiah, do you understand what I'm showing you? These people really lived. They're not made up mythical people. This is, and I don't have this one. This was a recent discovery, just not even a year ago. They discovered this. This one is Isaiah. We believe, archaeologists believe, that this is the Isaiah prophet of the Bible because it does say Isaiah, and it has almost all of the letters for prophet. It's missing the first letter. But it's pretty certain it was found at the same area at the Temple Mount, just 10 feet away from a Hezekiah one. And they both lived at the same time. So that's a fascinating thing. I'm going to go to Israel this fall, and I want to photograph that one. King Manasseh, he was a bad king, but he also was the longest reigning king. And he does turn to God. Nobody wants one of those either. Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay. And then... Oh, way up here at the top? Way up there. Okay. That's my granddaughter. There, Aaron, you got yours. There you go. And you can come up And grab this one, Cora. Oh, Johnny wants one. Okay, yeah. Johnny's my third grandson. Then we come to, yeah, he was an evil king, but he also had the longest reign of all. And we come to, now this one is the most fascinating, Baruch. Who's Baruch? Baruch was a scribe. Do you remember I told you scribes are the ones that made these out of clay? Baruch, if you don't know, is the person who wrote the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet did not write his book. He dictated, it says in there, to Baruch. Baruch wrote down the book of Jeremiah at his dictation. But what is the most fascinating, when they actually found this one, it has his name right on it, when they discovered this, when they turned it over, it had his thumbprint on it. How about that? Did you know that there's actually some biblical thumbprints that have been found in ancient history? So this is the last one I have here. But if you haven't got one yet, this is Baruch. So, and then what I'm going to do, I love how people duck. That one I did want to hit somebody. He's got goggles on. He doesn't know what I'm throwing here. You want one? This is Baruch. And you want one. There you go. Now, to be honest with you folks, if you bought these in a museum store, you'd be paying at least $20, $25 for these. So I have bought museum copies, and in my little workshop in a nature center, this is what I do in my time off. I make copies of them. Just out of ordinary clay. The thing is, you still want one? There you go. The thing is, these are just a few examples. We've only had 30 minutes here is all I've had to be able to talk with you. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of artifacts, tens of thousands of artifacts that show this is real. Do you know that I don't want to pick on Mormons, but the Book of Mormon? There is not one archaeological discovery that verifies the Book of Mormon is anything more than a book of myths. There's not, you scour all through North America, you won't find one artifact that supports the Book of Mormon. For the Bible, tens of thousands. And this summer alone, hundreds of artifacts have been found. Matter of fact, I'm going to embarrass Tom here. Tom, hold your hand up. He was digging on a site for 2 weeks this summer, right? And the fantastic site of the city of Bethsaida, the true city. And he's been digging there. Found all sorts of stuff, and it's amazing what is being found that supports the Bible. There's so much archaeological stuff. So there has never, ever been a provable archaeological discovery that disproved the Bible. Not one! So when people tell me science has disproved the Bible, have you ever heard of a science called archaeology? No, science has not disproved the Bible. Science keeps supporting the Bible. True science does. Back to our theme. You receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live as Christ's people. Hope you're all born again Christians, that you know Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Sink your roots in Him, build on Him, strengthen by the faith. I hope you get together with people, Christians and stuff. As we learned yesterday, we can endure so much if we stay together and help each other, doing good deeds for each other, and not just for Christians, for everybody, and be strengthened by the faith that the Bible stories we were taught. This is all true, folks. It's real. Father God, we thank you for this time we've had, and we just ask now that you would just bless each one. Give them safety, we ask, on the way home as they travel. But Lord, may this weekend be something that would impact them. May your Spirit, Lord, do the work. You receive the glory. You're the one who put this all together. And Lord, I ask that you add to your kingdom, add to our faith, and keep us all strong as we come into the last days of the last days. So God bless them all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.